Rich, Brother Donald, for letting me come. Born in Florida, Missouri, missionary to Missouri, and now preaching in Michigan for today. So honored to be a part of this. And y'all Yankees are good folk. Can I get an amen right there? I was born in Florida and played high school football in Kentucky. And so I tend to lean a little bit more that southern way. I love grits. Y'all probably don't even like grits up here. How many folk like it? My wife hates grits. Black-eyed peas. Some of you like black-eyed peas? I love black-eyed peas. My wife won't cook them because she's a Yankee. Taters, that's right, not potatoes, but taters, amen. And I love the language down there. You know, most of y'all don't know this, but you can translate "yont to." I mean, that means like, do you want to, you know. And just, there's a lot of amazing phrases you can learn from the South. And I believe we're going to speak Southern in heaven. Can I get an amen right there? Because the Bible says Jesus went and prayed yonder in the book of Matthew. And God's going to say, y'all welcome, y'all come on in heaven, amen. So, praise the Lord. I like preaching with Brother Shirley too, because he gets that little Southern thing going. And Brother Derek, we have no idea where he's from. So, see, he didn't even hear what I just said right there. I love Brother Derek. He is deaf. Amen. But Jeremiah chapter 20 this morning is where we'll be. Jeremiah chapter 20. Brother Derek, it's the book after Mark. Matthew, Mark, Jeremiah, Luke, John. Amen. God is good. Thank you again, Brother Rich and Brother Donald. It's been a wonderful 2 days, and I love getting to preach first on a Saturday morning, because then I get to sit down and be like y'all here preaching all day. Can I tell you something? We preachers need preaching. I love preaching. I told you last night I'm going to be preaching a lot this summer, but I also get to hear a lot of preaching. I get to preach with some great men of God all across this country, and I never get tired of preaching. Oh, my. Let me just say this real quick. I don't preach very long, and lunch is next. I love how you keep scheduling me before food. That's an interesting, good plan there by Brother Donald. But I want you to think about some young people. I didn't get saved until I was 18. And I never got to come to these things when I was your age. Never. How many of you go to Christian school? Wow, that is an amazing percentage of this crowd. How many public school kids again? I got a special place in my heart for y'all. And then homeschool kids. Let's not forget the homeschool crowd. All right. See, my wife was Christian school, I'm public school, and my kids are all homeschooled. So we got all three in our house, and we are very confused people. Amen. But let me just say this. I never got to go to Christian school until I was asked to preach in one. I never got to go to a youth rally like this when I was a teenager. And listen, young people, you are blessed to be able to be a part of something like this. And again, like it's already been said last night, but boy, thank God for these youth pastors and their wives that'll take time out of their schedule. And many of them work a full-time job, and they had to adjust, make some adjustments. They might even have to pay somebody to babysit their children while they're here. I mean, I just thank God for you all. You're making a difference. You're making a difference, and I just appreciate you more than you know. God is good. Today I want to talk about the weapon of the battle. The weapon of the battle. And I'll not preach very long. I want you to listen very carefully. Let's stand and stretch our legs in honor of God's Word. Jeremiah chapter 20. And I can't help but think about stand and stretch your legs. I know those young men that did that little yoga thing a while ago, your legs are still wobbling. They feel good now, but they kind of got that, you know, lactic acid built up in there. And I try to work out a lot. I know y'all can't tell that. But let me just tell you, I am in shape, because round is a shape. Can I get an amen right there? So, but what's that? Altar call right there. That's right. Amen. I'd rather look like the letter V than the letter O, but I'll take what I can get. Amen. But So I appreciate you teenagers so much. Jeremiah chapter 20, verse number 7. Another title of this message is how to can't quit even when you want to. How you won't be able to even quit even when you want to. Verse 7, the Bible says this. O Lord, thou hast deceived me, and I was deceived. Pretty bold statement from Jeremiah. Thou art stronger than I. Good observation. And by the way, it's a good thing to learn at a young age that God's a whole lot stronger than us. Amen. And hast prevailed. I am in derision daily. Everyone mocketh me. For since I spake, I cried out. I cried violence and spoil, because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me and a derision daily. Then I said, Jeremiah's going to take a stand against God. I will not make mention of him nor speak any more in his name. You know what he said? I quit. I'm done. I'm leaving the battle. God, I didn't know what I was getting into when I signed up for this. I know you called me from the womb. You had all these big plans, but it hasn't turned out like I thought. I am done. Listen, young people, one of the most beautiful words in the Bible is a simple three-letter word, B-U-T, but. Ephesians 2, but God, who is rich in mercy and love. But God commended his love toward us, and that while we were sinners. Boy, beautiful. Now watch this right here. But His word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing and I could not stay. He said, I tried to quit, but I couldn't. I couldn't. Father, I thank you for this message today and this thought. Encourage our hearts. Thank you for these young folk. I sure do love you, Lord. I pray that you'd save somebody today if they're not saved yet. And the Lord, may today be a starting point in their life where they have a relationship with this blessed book today that will stay strong till the day you come or till we take our final breath. Bless this message. Use it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I want to get right into this message today. I've been pastoring the same church for 17 years. I'll be saved 21 years this coming July. I got saved July 17, 1994. I did not know an independent Baptist existed until I was 18 years old. I didn't even know what an independent Baptist was. And I wish I had more time to tell you the story of how God miraculously brought my family into an independent Baptist church for the first time. It was a miracle of God. I mean, an absolute miracle. And we went into this independent Baptist church, and for the first time in my life, now I'd been sprinkled as a baby, baptized three times growing up. I had a hunger. There was something in my heart as a teenager. I always was searching. I even went to a church service one time, and me and my brother came to the altar, and they asked a very large woman to pray on us to get the Holy Ghost. I was afraid of the Holy Ghost a long time after that experience. But, I mean, I tried. As a teenager, I went to this church and that church. I went to this meeting and that meeting, tried searching, and I was lost. And 16 years old, I was a football star, all-state, winning state championships, playing in all-star games, being recruited by some big-time colleges, yes, in the state of Kentucky, which is usually a basketball state, but I played on a football team there. But as a 16-year-old boy, I asked God if there had to be something more to life than this. I was sprinkled as a baby, baptized three times, but there was an emptiness in my heart. And 2 years later, God answered that sinner's prayer, and he saved my soul. He let me find a church, and he saved my soul. And I asked my pastor when I first got saved, Pastor Jim Klein, pastor of little old church up in the state of Pennsylvania. And I said, preacher, I said, what do I do now? He said, you need to read your Bible every day. That's what he said. I said, okay, that's what my preacher said. And to the glory of God, I can tell you, I've been saved almost 21 years. I've read my Bible every single day. Why? Because my preacher said to. You say, preacher, do you remember every single thing you've read? No, but I don't remember every single meal I've had, but I'm glad I had it when I had it. And you can tell I've had a few meals in my life. What are you saying, Brother Rain? Are you actually saying you have never missed a day of reading your Bible since you've been saved? I'm not going to say that for sure, but I do not remember a single day that I did not read my Bible every single day. Now listen, let me tell you something right now real quickly, okay, young people? I shouldn't be here today. I never went to these youth rallies. I didn't even know who Jack Hiles was or the Sword of the Lord was for 18 years of my life. In fact, there probably should be other men out there right now that should be preaching in my place today. But like Brother Shirley preached last night about how he stayed and stayed and stayed and God finally said, I'll get you. Let me tell young people, there's only one reason today that I'm still here. And there's one main reason I'm still happily married for almost 18 years. There's one reason I'm so glad to be a daddy. And it's nothing to do with Randy Dingin or how good he is. I want to tell you today, young people, glory be to God, what has changed my life is that book that you're holding in your lap right now. Young people, we need a revival now in America more than ever of young people who will read that Bible every single day. I'm talking about a day walk with God. I mean, come on, you go to the bathroom every day. You brush your teeth. I hope you brush your teeth every day. You comb your hair. You put on deodorant. Hey, you say, yeah, those are all things we need to do. We eat, we drink water. Well, guess what? You need this book today. And I'm not talking about just coming to a service and hearing somebody preaching. I'm talking about where you personally walk with God. You see, I love these youth rallies. I love these youth conferences. I love the energy and the fire and the passion. But can I tell you something? I'm not here today because of these youth rallies. I'm here because in the mornings when I'm alone and nobody else is around and it's just me and God. God has spoken to me through His Word. And His Word is in my heart like a fire. I can't quit even if I want to. You see, Jeremiah said, I'm done, God. I'm done, God. I'm quitting. Preach for you. I've stood for you. I've tried. Preach to that crowd. They hate me. I'm quitting. I'm quitting. I can't quit. I can't quit. Back in the fight. Why? His word. Let me tell you, young people, it's very simple. You know why? We have a president who praises a person who goes from being a man to a woman and calls it courageous. You know why ESPN's going to give a courageous award to a person who is living sin and needs Jesus? By the way, we're all sinners. But boy, we got to preach against sin. The ESPY Award's going to go to Bruce or whatever his or its name is, Kate Jenner. The gay movement, the homosexual, let's call it the Bible Award, the sodomite movement in America. It's growing and it's booming and Congress and people don't want to have to, you know why? Because we don't have this book in America like we used to. And young people, let me tell you something right now. There's many of you teenagers that are in this room today. You want to marry somebody right today. You want to marry somebody that's the right person down the road. You want to have the right kind of relationship with a husband or a wife. You want to have the children that can get saved in an early life. And can I tell you something? Listen, young people, I want you to have that. But if statistics prove out, 50 to 60% of you in this room will be divorced in 10 years. Listen, young people, I'm not trying to be negative here. I'm going to be very positive. You can have a guaranteed happy marriage and a blessed life and give all the glory to God if you'll get right with your Bible today. Young people, if you've got a Bible in your lap, I want you to, look at that Bible. I want you to think about what God has done and the effort He made to bring that Bible to your lap. You say, Brother Randy, this is a youth rally. Come on. That's what they teach people in junior church. Listen to me now. It is that simple. You read your Bible. You study your Bible. You live your Bible. And your life will be changed every day. There's been many times I've read the Bible and I got excited. There's been many times I read the Bible and I started to cry. But there's been many times I've read the Bible and didn't feel anything. But every time it went through these eyeballs and into this heart, even if I wasn't paying attention, it was slowly chipping away. It was changing the old Randy to the new Randy. It's feeding the inward man. And now after being saved almost 21 years and pastoring the same church 17 years, how do you make it, Brother Randy? I'll tell you how I make it. The blessed old black book right here. We've got to have a revival of the Word of God. Listen, there's one thing consistent about this. God talks about His Word from Genesis to Revelation. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He spoke. It's all about the Word of God. Psalm 119 is all about the Word of God. Proverbs chapter 30, every word of God is pure. John chapter 1 verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word is with God. John 5 verse 39, search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. Romans 10 verse 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Ephesians 6 verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. 2 Timothy 3 verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12, for the Word of God is and sharper than any two-edged sword. Hey, Revelation chapter 19 verse 13, and He was clothed with a vesture dipped in His blood, and Jesus said, call me one thing, the Word of God. The Word of God. It's a weapon today. You need it. You need it to fight against the wickedness of this world. You need it to fight against your own wicked self. I need it because my flesh does not want to preach. My flesh does not want to pray. My flesh does not want to love my wife sometimes. My flesh does not want to be the daddy I need to be sometimes. My flesh doesn't want me to be the pastor I'm supposed to be. My flesh doesn't want me to be the American I'm supposed to be. But this book right here, it gets in your heart. It starts to stir your soul. And before long, there's a transformation. Forget Optimus Prime, the Transformer. I'm talking about biblical Christianity, born again, transformation that will change your life, then change your family's life, and change this world's life. I'm talking about the Word of God. We all need the Word of God. The president needs the Word of God. Hey, as do dads, moms, husbands, daughters, children, teenagers, leaders, followers, businessmen, plumbers, preachers, carpenters, computer techs, governors, the rich, the poor, the common man, the intelligent, teachers, students, workers, employees. Employees, men, women, boys, girls, we all need His Word. Why? His Word refreshes us. It rejuvenates us. It reminds us. It records us. It revives us. It repels us. We need His Word to teach us and guide us and empower us and lead us and feed us and satisfy us and comfort us and soothe us. His Word will influence us. It will preside over us. It will lead our homes, help our marriages, and guide our country. His Word will cleanse you, and it will give you peace. It will give us hope. It will give us joy. His Word will excite you, and enthuse you, and expound you, and enrapture you, and enjoy you, and it will help us escape the world. His Word will lift the fallen, save the soul, excite the saint, empower the preacher, go with the soul winner, embark the missionary, make wise the husband and father, give grace to the wife and mother, help the son and daughter obey and do right. His Word can heal a country, save a president, bring true peace, help the economy, heal our schools, uplift the church, and engage the Christians. His words will take us to the depths, keep us safe in the shallow, wise us up to the devil. It'll encamp around us. It'll implore us to service. It'll shun discouragement. It'll battle off depression. It'll give hope to the hopeless. It'll give peace to the uneasy. It'll give joy to the hurting. It gives forgiveness to the failed. It lifts up the fallen and the rest to the weary. It's a song for the Christian. His word can give life to the dying, heal the soul sick, reveal the truth. It can involve us, imply us, initiate us, impress us, imprint us, impulse us, and inaugurate us. His word is the honey of the sugar in the pie, protein in the steak, the cream of the milk. I feel like right now. He said, all. It's the promise of all. And when it's all said and done, His word is Jesus today. Boy, I love the word of God. Listen now. This book contains the mind of God, the state of man, the way of salvation, the doom of sinners, and the happiness of believers. Its doctrines are holy. Its precepts are binding. Its histories are true. Its decisions are invaluable. Read it to be wise. Read it to be safe. Practice it to be holy. It contains light to direct you, food to support you, and comfort to cheer you. It is the traveler's map, the pilgrim's, the pilot's compass, the soldier's, Christian's character. Here paradise is restored. Heaven is opened up. And the gates of hell are disclosed. Christ is its grand object. Good is its design. And the glory of God its end. It should fill the memory, rule the heart, and guide the feet. Read it slowly. Read it frequently. Read it prayerfully. It is given you in life and will be open in the judgment and will be remembered forever. It involves the highest responsibility. It rewards the greatest labor and condemns all who trifle its sacred contents. Listen, my friend, this is the Bible. It is the very words of God, and somebody needs to get right with this book today. We talk about getting right with God all the time. Let me tell you something. You need to get right with God's word today. The average American right now has a cell phone or her cell phone within its arm's length 23 out of 24 hours a day. Did you hear me? Most of us would go ballistic if we could not find our cell phone right now. Most of us, literally, I love going to camps. You know why I love camp, Brother Shirley? Because for some reason, praise God, most camps don't have good cell phone service. And it's got so bad now, they have IV stations. One's a Facebook IV, one's a Twitter IV, one's an Instagram ID, and the teenagers come up, they stick an IV in their arm just to get a fix. Oh, I feel better now. Okay, I'm good. Y'all didn't get that right. You know what I'm talking about. I mean, we've got to have our social media. Here's what I've learned about this. Facebook has become, I'm not against it. I have all that stuff. But listen now. America won't be changed by Facebook, but it'll be changed by putting your face in this book. On Facebook, you'll update your status. But if you put your face in this book, he'll update your status. We're living in a generation now where God's word has become foreign. My daddy's 75 years old. He went to school. The Bible was read every single day. In 1963, our government allowed the Bible to be removed. We asked God to step aside, and look what we have now. It's a simple question. I'm not being mean or ugly here, but did you read your Bible in the last 7 days? Don't answer. Have you even read your Bible in the last 7 days? Did you even crack that book? Young people, you've got to have the Bible. Well, I'm too tired. You weren't too tired to go to the bathroom. When the bathroom calls, it's your duty. Yeah, I just said that. When you get hungry, you're going to eat. When you get tired, you're going to sleep. When you get thirsty, you're going to drink. But you come in these conferences and you wonder why you're still struggling. That's the problem right there. Your relationship with that book isn't right. You've got to have the weapon, young people. I'm telling you today, I shouldn't be here, but I'm here. Not because of me, but because of that book. Because of that book. Let me give you 5 quick things that make you say, I got to get to know this weapon. Number one, His word is a person today. It's actually a person. In John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the capital word, which Greek word is logos. I don't get into Greek a whole lot. I mean, I have enough trouble with the English. And the word was with God, and the word was God. Revelation 19, verse 13, He's called the Word of God. His word is a person. You know what that means? When you read this book, you're not just reading what the author wrote. You're reading the author. Jesus wrote this book. Number two, His word has potential today. Can I get a witness right there? Woo! Have Bible, we'll travel. I don't know what clothes I'm going to wear next week at camp. My wife hasn't packed my suitcase. I don't know. I don't know what clothes I'll be wearing a few weeks from now when I'm in Rhode Island preaching or when I'm in Arkansas preaching. But I know this. There'll be a Bible in the pulpit with me. I went to the Philippines a few years ago. I don't remember what I wore, but the Bible went with me. I'm telling you, young people, the Bible has got to be a part of your life. The potential of this book is so powerful. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Number three, His Word is profitable. His Word is profitable. We live in a society where we're always looking for that which profits us, right? What's going to profit me? I got good news for you. His Word will profit you. You will get benefit from spending time in His Word. It says in 2 Timothy 3, Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Profitable. Number four, His Word is, I love this one, powerful. It's powerful. Whoa, hallelujah. It is so powerful today. For the Word of God is quick and powerful. Sharper. Hallelujah. Hey, can I tell you something? Dynamite is powerful. Guns are powerful. But nothing makes the devil more nervous than the Word of God. Nothing can shake a country like the Word of God. Nothing can save a marriage like the Word of God. I'm saved because I heard the Word of God. I'm not going to hell because I heard the Word of God. I'm going to heaven someday. Whoa, hallelujah. I'm going to heaven someday because of the Word of God. The Word of God is powerful. Very powerful. How you doing, Ace? What's our relationship like with the Word of God? All right, number five, and this is the one I'm going to spend a little time on. And I'll be done. Number one, His Word is a person. Number two, His Word has potential. Number three, His Word is powerful. Number four, His Word is powerful. Now watch this. So number five, go to Psalm 119, and I'm done. His Word loves partnerships. Partnerships. The Bible says here in Psalm 119, verse 9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By what? Taking heed thereto according to thy word. Look at verse 10. With my whole heart have I studied, oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Verse 11. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Psalm 119, verse 165. Great peace are they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Listen, guns. I said, I love guns. One thing I don't like about flying is I can't bring my gun with me. And I'm not like a little guy like Brother Donald where he has to put it on his back. I'm a big guy. I usually carry my .380 Taurus in my pocket everywhere I go. I have my CCW. Nobody knows. You think it's a little wallet, but it's a whole lot more powerful than a credit card. Can I get an amen right there? Guns are a blessing. I said guns are a blessing. They're good for hunting. They're good for self-defense. And by the way, you need to learn how to use a gun. And the liberal media wants to attack guns. They want to say guns are bad. Now listen, young people. We have many guns in my home. And I'm pretty happy for that. And the one thing I want is more guns. I got an AR-15 last year as a love offering preaching at a camp. You want to preach at that camp, don't you? Yeah. I'll tell you about it later. So that way I don't have to pay taxes on it, praise God. No love offering check. I got a gun. Hallelujah. But watch this now. Watch this. Listen to this now. I have never gotten home from church with my family and say, guys, I think the guns are in a bad mood. I'm going to open the garage door, and I want you kids, Grant, you jump under the table, crawl through the house, and make sure they're doing okay. I've never gotten home and had the guns go bang, 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 shooting all over because they're in a bad mood. Never. Can I tell you something? I know exactly where all my guns are right now in my house. All of them. Every single one of them. Don't miss this now. They're useless. A gun just sitting there is completely useless. But when a soldier picks up a gun on a battlefield and forms a partnership with that gun saves his life because a partnership was formed. You see, this little thing right now, honestly, is just a little bit of plastic, a little bit of rubber, a little bit of metal. That's all it is. But if you get close to it, you form a relationship with this beautiful, beautiful, beautiful piece of art. Can I get an amen right there? It becomes very useful and very beneficial. Now watch this now. The problem with many of us, and I say this with all due respect to God's Word, We have made this book useless. It just sits there. Just like that gun. No partnership. I used to go into restaurants. Fat. When I first got saved, I carried a family Bible with me everywhere. I didn't know about concealed carry, amen. And I would go up to McDonald's, put my Bible on the counter. And I'll never forget, this teenage girl said, "Is that a Bible?" I said, "Yeah, look, it's alive, it's breathing." And she took off to the back. Ah! It was awesome. Look at that. He's breathing. Now listen now. Listen. I say this with all due respect to God's Word. Many of us have made this book completely useless. Because it sits there and has no partner. It has no partnership. Everything we've already said, it's person, it's profitable, it's powerful, it's got potential, that's God's job. God made it that way. The partnership, that's my job. To come to this book, pick it up, and form a partnership with His Word. Today I'm asking young people to stay in the battle. The only way you'll stay in the battle is if you have a relationship with this book. You know what this book will help you do, young man? It'll help you see, help you get off that stuff you're looking at you shouldn't be looking at. You know what this book will do for you, young ladies? It'll get your spirit right. So you'll be tender towards the things of God. So God can help you find the right man someday. You know what this book does? I love steak, but I really like marinated steak. Let that steak soak in something and marinate it and throw it on a grill. Yeah, get marinated in this book. America needs to be a nation that believes in marination again. We need to let this book get into our hearts and our minds. And you'll be able to stay in the battle. Every single soldier right now that's overseas, Afghanistan, wherever, and I've asked them this. They always know where their weapon is. They always know. Because it could very well save their life. Young people, you want your life saved today? There's the book right there. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. It's very simple today, my friend. You said, "Come on, Brother Randy, I'm disappointed. They flew you in to tell me to read my..."